Hare Krishna. I wish to affectionately welcome you for this last presentation of mine during the Govardhan retreat. We have discussed the spiritual evolution of two great devotees on their journey back home, back to Godhead. First was the amazing story of Vritasura, and now we hear of the last instructions for Gop Kumar in order to reach his beloved Lord, at whose lotus feet he will feel completely satisfied and in uninterrupted happiness. What he will feel is what is called in our Sanskrit language a rasa, a relationship with the Lord. And the important ingredient of this relationship is that it is totally fulfilling. And now comes the second thing, always full of new astonishment. It is, in other words, never hackneyed or stereotyped or stale, or it becomes boring like mundane relationships, but every interaction with Krishna, in fact every second with Krishna, is full of astonishment. Wow! Therefore he is called Nava Yovanam, ever fresh. This is never the same, so to say. So the question which we want to deal with today is what sadhana or spiritual practice is done in order to reach Goloka Vrindavan. Today one devotee came with eyes full of sorrow and sadness and said, Maharaj, I have to fly tomorrow back to Europe. And I said, don't go. The devotee looked at me. Are you serious? No, yes, don't go. In other words, when you go, you lose your connection, huh? You separate, you leave that place. But when you so to say, take an airplane out of Vrindavan, don't leave Vrindavan, don't separate yourself from Vrindavan, but think about the appropriate sadhana, the practice which will bring you to the eternal Vrindavan, and start to practice this. So Gop Kumar, you must remember, is in Dwaraka. He hears from Narada Muni and Uddhava, in Uddhava's house, about that place which Krishna keeps separate from all others of his kingdom. Remember, Krishna wants to go to this Goloka Vrindavan to taste the unlimitless sweetness of divine love. That's in his mind. And in order to taste that, he leaves Mahalakshmi in Vaikuntha. He leaves his palaces. He leaves his energies. He leaves everything behind engage in relationships which look externally like the relationships of a ordinary friend with another friend. In other words, there is nothing separating, no awe and no reverence, but it is just loving dealings. However, Narada Muni says, this relationship of Krishna and Vrindavan is never ordinary or lokika, because in Vrindavan three things combine: extraordinary opulence. We hear that the trees are wish fulfilling trees, and the land consists out of chintamani jewels. That is, a mani is a jewel, and chinta is what you think. So when you have a chintamani jewel in your hand, whatever you think becomes fulfilled. It's priceless. Opulence and sweetness are combined, and Krishna's extraordinary prema is also there. So, obviously, Gop Kumar wants to know, how do I go there? What qualifications do I need to have? It is clear to enter the spiritual world, there are no material qualifications. Prabhupada makes this even clear in relationship to Boma Vrindavan. He says, you cannot buy a ticket to come to Vrindavan. It's not a material process, trains and planes and buses which bring you here. You need something else. Of course, anyone can go to a village in Uttar Pradesh called Vrindavan, but that's not where devotees go. They go to the transcendental kingdom of God, which exists parallel and is always here. So what does he need to do? So Narada Muni doesn't immediately answer this question, but he wants to first increase the eagerness of Gop Kumar. Remember, for spiritual things, the only price is lolyam or eagerness, right? So Gop Kumar asks, how can I go to Vrindavan? But so Narada Muni answers by saying, you must be first of all eager. And then he explains. He says, in this world we find only a few people who distinguish good from bad. Most people, when it comes to their own pleasure, are not shying away from even doing bad activities as long as that is in their interest. I would say maybe 80% of the big businesses which are done have bad activities inside, but the business owners are not minding this as long as their business brings money. So few people can distinguish good from bad. Most in this world want wealth and enjoyment and are ready to do anything. There are a few people who practice dharma, who are always acting according to dharma. And even fewer people want to have moksha. They see this world as a prison with prison bars of lust and greed and anger, and they want to get out of central prison, so to say. There are a few people. Once a great saint was asked before he died, how do you feel? Your body has so much pain. And he said, I'm very happy. Soon I'm out of central prison. So, very few people. Out of those, a small percentage is actually qualified to be liberated. But now, the rarest people want bhakti or devotion to the Lord. These people are called Narayana Parayana, those who have totally taken shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. And they are characterized by being prasanatma, totally peaceful and satisfied in their mind. All the others, those who want wealth and enjoyment, or who practice Dharma and who want moksha, they are not yet peaceful. But you must know that amongst those few people who want bhakti, only a very small percentage are devotees of Gopal. And amongst the devotees of Gopal, Narada Muni begins to shook. It becomes difficult for him to speak. There are a few, very few, who are the highest. But I can't speak about this. He says, Uddhava, I need your help here. Tell us who are the highest devotees of Madan Gopal. We need actually, I cannot speak any longer. So when Uddhava hears that he is asked to speak about the most pure devotees of Krishna, the highest people in the earth, he first starts to move, then he becomes absolutely silent, and then he takes from the ground a piece of grass, places it in his lips, and pays his obeisances to Narada Muni. Narada, you have to empower me to speak about these special devotees of Lord Gopal. Otherwise, I cannot even start speaking. Then he says, after being very silent for a moment, he says, we need an orchestra here. Und auf welche Note spielst du? Tonart?
Was?
It is the gopis of Vrindavan. Listen why they are the highest devotees of Madan Gopal. They have given up everything. For the Lord, they have given up the association of husbands, their sons, and other family members. It's very difficult to give this up. But they have given this up to take shelter only and exclusively at the lotus feet of Mukunda Krishna. But I would consider myself extremely fortunate if I would become a bush or a creeper or a little herb in Vrindavan. Because when the gopis come by here looking for Krishna, they would trample me on my head with their exalted lotus feet. And the dust from those feet would come upon my head and in this way make me fortunate. Then Uddhava becomes overwhelmed with all types of emotions, remembering the exalted qualities of these devotees. His love is taking over completely. He starts to jump up and down. He starts to sing. And he's full of astonishment. Because he remembers how much ecstasy Lord Krishna felt when he was together with these highest of his devotees. And he speaks a second verse from the Bhagavatam. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, they were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune, Mahalakshmi, or other consorts of the Lord in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets. These girls have great lustrous effulgence from their bodies, and their aroma resembles the beauty and fragrance of the lotus. But they could not have Krishna. What to speak of worldly women who are very beautiful by mundane estimation? Then, when Uddhava has spoken about this highest limit of sweet, loving love, he becomes silent. He's unable to continue. He's lost in his own memories. And Narada Muni takes over. It takes two here to give the final instructions. And he looks again and again at Gop Kumar. And he thinks deep, and then he folds his hand and says, I have so much respect. You are going to that place in Goloka Vrindavan. But I can't go there. I'm not qualified. So, you are very wonderful. I'm very fallen. So, this is to increase Gop Kumar's eagerness. But still, the question is not answered. What should Gop Kumar do? That's how everything started. And this I want to answer. But before I answer this, I want to increase your eagerness. I want to tell you from the Gaga Sanghita, a pastime which was the first pastime which I heard from a devotee when I made my first visit to Vrindavan. I was in Maya. I was very sad and wanted to go back to Germany because I missed German bread and butter. And I had always difficulties with the doors. I was used to these, please help me, what is it called? No. Door handles. But they, at that time, when Vrindavan was more poor, they only had these lockers, you know, which you go, and I would always, I didn't know how to use this, and I would always hurt my finger, and it was bleeding, and it was getting infected. I remember, and either you couldn't move them, or they moved too quick, and it was this one, the culture shock. No German bread and impossible doors. So I wanted to go back to Germany, and I talked at that time to one devotee of our Krishna Balaram Mandir, and he said, before you go, let me tell you how special Vrindavan is. Said, I give it one more try, but you have to be really good in your arguments. And he said like this, this is a place which Krishna likes most. But then I said, but Krishna left Vrindavan and didn't return for a long time. And he said, I want to speak about this phenomena. Krishna left to increase the love of the residents of Vrindavan, to make them hanker more. He wanted that they become more eager. So then, one day, after 100 years of his staying on this planet, he who was now the Lord of Dwaraka sent an invitation to the to the gopis in Vrindavan to meet him at Samanta Panchaka. It's a lake which is also known as Siddhishwaram. It means the place, the ashram, where perfection can be attained just by touching its dust. So only the gopis were invited, and when they heard that one could get perfection by touching the dust, they thought, our perfection is that Krishna comes back to Vrindavan and we will go there. So soon a long, long procession, already a nectar bee is coming, a long procession of beautiful gopis came from Vrindavan. They were accompanied and protected by cowherd men who were bearing lances, because they were, after all, the goddesses of Vrindavan. So they went under protection. And in this long procession of the most amazing residents and personalities, there was one palanquin. It was carried by some gopis, and inside the palanquin sat the queen of Vrindavan. So the procession arrived at the lake in Siddheshwaram ashram, and got down, those who rode on bullock carts got down, and they made a big curtain around the lake. It was a big lake, but they made a big curtain with such cloth, like you can see, white cloth, but which was, you couldn't see through the cloth. And out of the palanquin came the queen of Vrindavan in that protected area to take her bath in the lake and then touch Siddheshwaram. You always, when you arrive at a holy place, are supposed to take a bath in the holy lake or in the holy river and so on. So there was the lake, then the inside of the curtain, Srimati Radharani and her most confidential gopis took a bath, and outside where was everyone else and the cowherd men who had lances. Now at the same time, from Dwaraka, another procession arrived with elephants, with soldiers whose armor glistened in the bright sun, and with many tents for Krishna and his 16,108 queens. And they made camp. And then the nobility or royalty of Dwaraka went to the lake. Krishna stayed in his tent to take their royal bath. So when they came to the cowherd men who were guarding before the curtain, they said, the nobility of Dwaraka has arrived. Please make space now that the ministers and the high-ranking personalities and elders of the Yadu clan can take their bath. But the coward man said, no, no, our queen is taking a bath. Oh, queen? Who is the queen? Radharani from Vrindavan. Radharani from Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a village. There is no kingdom. You make place. Don't joke with us. The coward man said, please leave immediately. You don't say this to Satyaki and other generals who have fought, who can fight with 20,000 people at the same time. You leave. The Yadus became arrogant. They took their swords, started to threaten the coward man. Then one started to beat, but the coward man took his wooden lance and just went like, and the sword broke. Then, attack! All the soldiers attacked, and they were all beaten by a few coward men. Then the coward man said, sorry, but we told you to leave. Our queen needs to finish her bath. So they went back and went to Krishna, said, and told him what happened. And Krishna smiled. These are my people, he said. They're from Vrindavan. And his eyes were so happy. You wait, everything will become clear a little later. So, after the bath of the Brijabasis had been completed, they went to a place and camped, and the Yadus took their bath, and the evening came, and night engulfed the atmosphere. The tents in the Yadu camp became silent, the lights were extinguished, only one light was still burning in the tent of Krishna. Rukmini came and said, my lord, you are not sleeping? Is something not good? Your bed is not properly arranged? No, said Krishna, I am not sleeping because Radha is nearby. Rukmini immediately felt jealously rising, soft jealousy, not hard jealousy. Who's Radha? Oh, she is Dayamayi, Karunamayi. She is the queen of my life. Oh, she is from that village, no? That village girl. Do not say many words now, Rukmini. You must meet Radha. And the best way is you cook some milk, because she is accustomed to drink cow milk in the evening. And you bring it, you should heat it up yourself, and you bring it to her. And deliver it and say, it's from Krishna. Rukmini, she's submissive, but inside she felt, and went into the kitchen and boiled milk. Now, milk is not to be served when it's very hot. But she took that milk, brought it, went to Radha's camp. The gopis brought her, and she saw the most beautiful appearance sitting on the bed. She said, I am sent by Krishna. This is milk from Krishna. And she gave that milk to Radha. And when Radha heard from whom the milk was, she immediately and quickly swallowed it. Then Rukmini went back and said, I followed your order. There are many beautiful beauties in Dwaraka. Also, my Lord. Krishna didn't say anything. Rukmini said, may I massage your feet so that you can rest now? Krishna stretched his feet out and Rukmini touched the feet. But as he touched her Lord's lotus feet, they were full of blisters. She said, my Lord, your feet are hurt. I can't give a massage. Yes, said Krishna, you did it. What? When you served that milk, it was too hot. But Radha, who keeps my lotus feet always in her heart, was drinking the milk without even noticing the pain the hot milk inflicted upon her. Because she is absorbed in so much love that she's like a yogi in samadhi who has withdrawn his senses from all external perception. Do you now understand the glory of Radharani? So Rukmini said, yes, she thinks always of you, but to an extent that you are present in her heart. Yes, said Krishna, I am never separated from Radha and from Vrindavan. So the next morning, the meeting between Radha and Krishna was arranged. Satyabhama, who's a hot-headed queen, was responsible to arrange that. And she said to Krishna, before Krishna went, Krishna, what is so special about this Radha? Here are so many qualified queens, so many palaces you have. Why do you think of Radha and Vrindavan all the time? Are we not good enough? Krishna said, you will see. So the queens and the royalty went out to the appointed meeting place, and they waited, the palanquin of Radha came, and it was sealed. There was a curtain of pearls hanging down, and everyone was, now they would see this Radha coming out of the curtain for the meeting. And it's very nicely described. Everyone was standing there. Krishna, Ugrasena, the royalty, the 16,108 queens dressed in their fineries and looking so beautiful. And all of them looked at that palanquin who would come out of that palanquin. What was the quality of that personality who kept Krishna's mind so entirely fascinated and bound? Then what they saw is a leg with a beautiful lotus foot. Radha was carefully coming out, very shyly put the feet, first one foot on the ground. And this movement, and this feet, and more specific, the light which came from the toenail of that feet, my dear devotees. Good music is already coming. was so sweet, so powerful, so imbued with divine ecstasy that all of the people who stood there fainted and fell on the ground. Just the feet. Nothing else. Not yet the hands or the lotus face of Vrindavaneshwari Radhe. This was enough, and everyone just fainted. And Radha then went and saw Krishna. And I'm not qualified to speak about this meeting, but she then offered a wonderful throne to Krishna, which was so opulent. Remember, Vrindavan is a mixture of sweetness and opulence, and the sweetness mostly covers the opulence, but sometimes the opulence comes out. Here it comes out because the people from Dwaraka needed to see the glory of Vrindavan. She presented a throne to Krishna which was so opulent. The four feet were made out of moonstone, and I have forgotten all the ingredients, but it was so opulent. And then Radha placed invited Krishna to take place, and then offered a beautiful arati to him with all the gopis, with singing so sweetly and offering so wonderfully. And all the queens of Vrindavan, all the queens of Dwaraka became humbled by the superior beauty, sweetness and influence of Srimati Radhika and her gopis. They then said to Krishna, "We have heard, Krishna, that you danced the Rasa dance in Vrindavan. Can we dance it all together here in Samanta Panchaka, in Siddheshwaram?" Krishna smiled and said, "You must ask Radharani. She's the queen of the Rasa dance." That's the name which Radha has. Then when Radha said, she said, "It cannot take place here. It can only take place in the sweetness of Vrindavan." And then she described the sweetness of Vrindavan and gave some of the points which we have heard from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which makes Vrindavan at once the highest place, removed far from Vaikuntha, from Dwaraka and Ayodhya. Now Gop Kumar, this is what the story, what the Gaga Samhita narrates. But our question remains: what can one do to attain Vrindavan? And Narada Muni now gives instructions. "And those of you who wish to one day attain Vrindavan, listen very carefully. Listen as if your good life depends on these instructions." Narada Muni says, "Only by the mercy of Krishna can you attain Vrindavan. There are two ways in which one receives this kripa or mercy. It is either through regulative practice or spontaneous." And he gives an example for these two. A rich man can give a meal in two ways. Either he gives a fortunate soul the whole meal at once, or if that person is so inclined, he gives him the ingredients and maybe even a guideline and recipe So Krishna can give the mercy vroom like this, or through practice, either which you must do regularly, and it must be a practice where you relate to Krishna with a very special emotion. Already Narada Muni had indicated how Krishna is seen by the Brijbasis. He is seen as a Lokika Banda, as an ordinary friend. Means, we would say not ordinary because it, we would say a close, very close friend. In Sanskrit, the word mamata is used. A strong sense you must have while you practice that Krishna is yours and that you are Krishna's. Today, our Adipurusha has delighted us by saying that in bhakti, in the Gaudiya way of bhakti, you offer everything to Krishna. The good, the bad, your life is just because, just like a close person, he shares everything with you. A close person who's really close, you say, oh, today I have some in my throat, I have some. And the close person may think, oh, okay, yes, here. This is good for you. Take it. Very close. There is no separation, or let us say, no artificial. Nothing is separating close friends. They deal very closely. It's called mamata, a strong sense of ownership or relation to the Lord, that He is mine and I am His. Now this type of love which you need, this strong relation, it does come by practicing two types of devotional service. You know, there's nine types of devotional service. But a devotee who wants to go to Vrindavan will practice, will concentrate on two of these items. Could you I don't think it's good to ask, could you imagine, because we don't want to speculate. Do you know? I know when someone like me has already, I have 2 points, then it's, you feel shy to say, because maybe it doesn't match. It's, someone said Shravan, hearing, I heard. What else comes to mind? Sorry? Kirtanam, yes. But someone said Smaranam, yes. Yes. Narada Muni says the main items by which you develop the necessary love, where you feel really this very strong relationship to Krishna, this mamata, he's mine. This comes by dhyana, by meditating about Krishna, remembering Krishna, and by gana, that is chanting about Krishna's and his pastimes. Now, as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, it's very important for me, who's practicing sadhana, and I think it's for all of you, to align devotional practices with what he said. Once Prabhupada said why he wrote so many books, he said, it's so that you can think of Krishna. And in the scriptures it is said that all devotional practices are servants of two practices only. These two practices are the masters of everything else. that is to always think of Krishna and to remember Krishna. So these points and other points flow into what is called dhyana. Dhyana is a stage of remembering Krishna which comes when you start to practice to think of Krishna. As many of you do, you come to Burijan Prabhu's classes. It's all about Krishna. By now you have noticed that. And to Jagatarini Mataji's classes, it's all about Krishna. Because I talked with one of you and he said, you know, Maharaj, something strange happened to me at this Govardhan retreat. I'm very busy in preaching, but now we are only hearing about Krishna. I'm not accustomed to do this. But I feel so content. And I feel that an emptiness, which I didn't even know to identify, that means, why do I feel so restless always, even after full day of good engagement in preaching mission service. I feel very content, and I know when I go back, I want to learn to think more of Krishna. Yeah, that's why Prabhupada said we should daily read in his books, no? And then, after this, when you have some Krishna in your heart, my dear devotees, when you think you make full kirtans, your kirtans are not empty, but you relate your kirtan, you sing for Krishna. After all, it's his name, Hare Krishna, and you should think of the person whose name you chant. It's impolite if I call someone, hey, Vikrama, and then I go like, oh, this is also an interesting picture, and I'm gone with my intention. When I call someone, I would go, Vikrama, how are you? You know, full attention should be there. The moment you take a name of a person, if you don't want to be disrespectful, you should connect. And for that, you need to first have thought a little bit about Krishna. You need to know a little about Krishna. So dhyana and gana, remembering or meditating and chanting about the Lord and his pastimes, are the prime sadhanas, that is what you do in order to develop the strong love which will give you Krishna's kripa. No? And this singing or chanting, it becomes very powerful, says Radha Muni, by Nam Sankirtan. Because if you sit together with other devotees and chant the name of Krishna again and again, one easily realizes the full glories of Krishna and his pleasure potency, that is Srimati Radharani. So, your practice, in other words, of thinking of Krishna and remembering him up to the extent of meditating about him and chanting his name, this practice becomes imbued with power and then begins to shine if you do Nam Sankirtan. Because Jiva Goswami says, when you do japa, he said, or chant alone, he says, then if you are not pure, you can't do it. But if you do sankirtan, that is, chant together with others, you will be purified in your heart so that you can really chant. You understand this point? It's somehow the. I once heard an example which I liked very much. When you have a candle and you have many mirrors standing around the candle, then the candle light becomes amplified and brighter. It can be just a small candle like this, but with the help of the mirrors, the light becomes like, whoa, like this torch, what is it called? Flooding light or spotlight. So in the same way, when you put your voice into the kirtan, and there are other voices around you, many voices, then your little voice, and what is more important, your little devotion which is behind the voice, can become amplified. But the kirtan should be full kirtan, not empty kirtan, of course. Therefore, it is so important that we come to realize in our kirtan, it's not about speed, having a good fun, knowing intricate beats. I mean, it's good if you know, but it's not primarily about this. But it is for glorifying Krishna. Kirtan comes from the syllable kirt, I think you all know, which means to glorify and to praise. Whom? There must be someone you glorify and praise. There must be Krishna, in other words, there. Therefore, kirtans in Gaudiya style, like Narottam has shown, they start slow, so that there is, that everyone can remember, can think of Krishna and settle in, and then yes, come to glorify. No? When you go to kirtan, don't bring a passionate heart. Bring a humble heart, which says, "Oh, I really need now to sit in the kirtan with the devotees to hear." To experience the mirror effect of my little light, so that my little light can shine a little bit and receive strings and so on. And this attitude in which this practice of thinking of Krishna, remembering and then singing Krishna, and then doing finally kirtan together with devotees, the right attitude, says Narada Muni, he gives a full program. He says, one must feel himself ashakta, incapable. And one must feel himself adharma, or fallen. Although one may have good qualities, one knows, my goal is so high, and I am so low. When you are high class, there's something which you always need to forget, and that is that you are high class. When you are low class, there is something which you always need to remember, and that is that you are low class. When you come to that feeling which Narada Muni describes as dainyam, an extreme agitation in the heart, tears, because you feel yourself so incapable. What does a helpless person do who has no other recourse? He cries for help. The example of full dainya are the gopis. When Krishna had left Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani cried and cried and cried. She didn't say, I'm the queen of Vrindavan. She cried. The most wretched person. My dear devotees, only when you are willing to face the lowliness of and wretchedness of being a conditioned soul, can you attain Krishna, who's otherwise so very difficult to attain. When I was in Govardhan, Bhujan Prabhu visited me, and I was just doing my schedule. here. And he wrote down this preaching program, that preaching program. Here I give a preaching program to the University of Vaishnav Academy. Here my taxi goes, and then I will go to the MVT and stay in this luxury apartment. Yes, and here I have this meeting with this very rich person. He will help to arrange a kirtan mela, big kirtan mela for 50,000 people in Naimisharanya. And then, yes, he is from a Govardhan retreat. I will give many programs. And then Bhuijan Prabhu came in and said, guess what I just found? I said, I don't know. He said, what are you just now doing? Well, I have some very, very, very powerful preaching programs which I will give. I've just written them down. He said, it's a good moment for you to sit down, put your pen down, and listen. And then he wrote to me this quotation. The Lord who is not easily attained can only be attained by those who accept the sorrow of their own lowliness. We will repeat. The Lord who is not easily attained can only be attained by those who accept the sorrow of their own lowliness. And then the quote continues. When you have this sorrow that, oh, I'm really fallen, I'm not a big preacher. Yes, there's a schedule with this prime minister. I have to schedule to meet him. Yes, yes, they will give me lots of money in the Vaishnava Academy. But if you go like, no, Sachinandan Swami, be realistic here. You are a fallen soul. You have broken the only important relationship. What should you do then when you think, oh my God, I'm wretched, I'm lowly? This quote continues. When you are in this sorrow, you must become anugati, like the anugati of the gopis. You must follow a pure soul, like the gopis followed Radharani. You must follow your spiritual master. You know, a good follower of the spiritual master knows, this is my chance. This is my path through the darkness of my lowliness, which is lit up by his instructions. I need to cling to these instructions and follow them. This is a practical dhyan. No? Just to feel wretched is one part, but the second part, according to this quotation, is you must start to follow a person who can bring you out of this condition of being fallen. And then Narada Muni turns to his main theme. He says, by chanting, one comes to the stage of love where the heart melts. And then he quotes this verse, Evang Vrata Svapriya Nama. Someone who is feeling that, who wants to come close to the Lord, has this vrata to come close to the Lord. He will engage in chanting the Lord's beloved name. And sometimes he will laugh, he will cry, he will dance. That's the essence of the Bhagavatam. That's where the Bhagavatam's teachings leave off. Then Narada says, I'm sorry. I can't explain prema anymore. If you ever meet the divine goddess Radha or Sri Krishna Chanda, who will explain it? He means Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. then you would see what prema really is. Or if they speak to you, you would understand what they say and hear the truth about prema. I have said what I can, and so on. Then they discuss, Narada and Uddhava. And after some discussion, they agree. Gop Kumar, you are the devotee of our Lord, Madan Gopal. You should now not stay here any longer in Dwaraka. Go to the land of Gokula, that is the land of Krishna on this earth, and you should follow the devotees there. They have utter humility and pure love. And you should roam around through the forest, the rivers, the hills. And you should have your mouth full with cries of lamentation for Krishna. You will meet the devotees there. Their hearts are burning with grief. And they search in that sacred land for their beloved Lord Krishna. Don't stay any longer. Go quickly to Vrindavan, because Vrajabhumi enhances the fame and splendor of the earth. The earth is special because of Vrindavan on it. There, without delay, you will succeed in the spiritual practice which I have told you, and that will bring you to the brilliant world above Vaikuntha, to Goloka Dham. So when Uddhava and Narada Muni tell him, leave immediately, Gop Kumar hesitates. He thinks, but shouldn't I say goodbye to Dwarkadish, the Lord of Dwaraka, Krishna in Dwaraka? But Uddhava, who can understand why Gop Kumar hesitates, said, no need to ask the Lord of Dwaraka for permission. If you would go anywhere else, you would have to ask him. But earthly Vrindavan is Krishna's favorite abode. He is happy that you go, and he knows it already. So Gop Kumar is in ecstasy. He has his instructions. He knows what is now necessary for him. He needs to go, he needs to sing the holy name with a sense of Krishna, you are mine. He needs to think of Krishna and sing about him. And then he needs to find devotees, like the devotees in the Vrindavan, who are yearning for Krishna and longing for Krishna. And he needs to follow their example and their mood in order to reach Krishna. He is so happy. For the first time he feels, and he closes his eyes for a moment, and then felt as if someone was taking him. And when he opened his eyes, he was in Vrindavan. Here in Vrindavan. If a few hundred years ago we would have met him, Gop Kumar roamed through the various Leela Stavas of the Lord. He sang the names which were most dear to him. Gop Kumar later says to his disciple, I sang his names which were most dear to me. I sang loudly about the pastimes, like Narada Muni said. And I became so ecstatic and emotional that I'm too embarrassed really to talk about it. I'm confused. I was confused. Sometimes I felt that I had fallen into the flames of a forest fire. But then I felt as if I was in the supreme nectar of the Yamuna. Now I know it was the feeling of separation, but it was so sweet. My dear devotees, I would like you now to turn to your neighbors, and then we will have a very brief little time to discuss what happened to Gop Kumar and to properly close this retreat. But please find a neighbor. And my question to you is, which you have to talk about, is what is the sadhana or the spiritual practice that which will evoke that love which will bring you to Goloka Vrindavan? Hare Krishna, Haribo. Govinda, Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, the effect was very, very surprising for Gop Kumar. He stayed here in Vrindavan. He was absorbing himself in the instruction of Gop Kumar. He had of Narada Muni. And once when he was alone at some place in Vrindavan and chanted, he was overwhelmed by so many devotional feelings that somehow he lost his consciousness. He was seen. He had been closely watched all this time. And as he was lying on the ground, a dark-complexioned youth stepped from behind a tree and saw him lying on the ground. The Lord of Sweetness bowed over him and with his own hand wiped the dust from his body. Gop Kumar was awakened from his fainted condition by the heady fragrance, the sweet fragrance which emanated from the Lord of Sweetness. And when he came to his senses, he saw before him his Lord, Madan Gopal. He got up, he approached the Lord, but the Lord stepped backwards. He ran towards the Lord. The Lord ran behind him. He tried to snatch his dhoti to keep him. Don't leave me ever again. But then the Lord disappeared. Gop Kumar was so much overwhelmed by that meeting that he fell into the Jamuna and lost his consciousness the second time. And from there, as if carried by the swift currents of the Vrindavan, he was carried up and up and up and beyond so many places, until he found himself in an indescribable place. He was alone. He did not know where he had arrived. He started to walk and he saw some people, but they seemed to be so absent-minded. He said, "My dear people, where are we?" But it was as if they didn't have a mind for this question, or for they didn't answer. Finally, he found an old man who was crying. The old man said, "This is the place of Nanda Maharaj. Why are you sad? But the darling son of, we are all sad because the darling son of Nanda Maharaj has gone cowherding. But he will, like this, cowherding. He will come back from the western direction. So Gop Kumar waited. He saw extraordinary opulences in this town. He doesn't describe them. Sanatana Goswami says that this is too special to be described. And he then saw all of a sudden how when the sun was setting, people started to move a little in the western direction. Then he saw a cloud of dust coming. He heard sweet sounds. He saw that the Yamuna stopped its flow, became overwhelmed by ecstasy and started to flow backward in the direction of that wonderful sound. There was sound of laughter, and Gop Kumar knew he just had to run, and he ran and ran, and then appearing from the cloud of dust came the Lord of the Sweetness, whom he had briefly seen in Boma Vrindavan, who had just appeared to him like a flash and then disappeared. And he ran towards that Lord of Sweetness. Gopal Krishna saw him and ran towards Gop Kumar. And when they met, the Lord asked him, "Where have you been?" And then he fainted. The dust became muddy with Lord Krishna's tears. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan who were there, primarily the cowherd boys, stepped back and went alert, thinking, "Oh no, he's a demon, not a demon here. He has embraced Krishna and made him faint." But the wise person, Balaram, understood, "No, it's not like this. It's a devotee who returns." And he went to Gop Kumar and said, come, help him." And he took Gop Kumar's hand, put it on the body of the Lord and brushed the dust away. And Krishna came back to his senses and looked at Gop Kumar, took his hand and walked with him towards Vrindavan. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shrimati Radha Dani ki, Shriman Madan Gopal ji ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. My dear devotees, in brief, let us turn now to the wish-fulfilling Giriraj. We will end this katha with one short kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare
Make this kirtan a full kirtan in the way Narada Muni indicated, let us apply his instructions on our present level of qualifications. The main point was, as you sing, there should be a remembrance of Krishna. These two things must be combined, in other words, the sound vibration and Krishna. And you can do this by really simply addressing Krishna through your singing. No? Instead of saying something, you sing. And in this way, some relationship can begin. Please. Let us sing now.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Hare Everybody is singing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Hare Krishna. Please turn again. Hare Krishna, I want to thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to address you so many years, and especially this year I felt very privileged, very happy to try to serve you. It's an attempt, a genuine, let me say, desire is behind it, to show maybe some indications where you can look to find your next steps in your spiritual life. And we hear from the Shastras and the interactions of these great devotees, there will be certainly something, if not their example alone, which will inspire us. And I request you, whatever little point you found, pursue that. Go in that direction, and you will find, you will certainly eventually find what you are deeply inside your heart looking for. It's important when we go on the retreat that we start, or we collect, so to say, the insights, the jewels, and build our life based on these insights or these new discoveries. Or sometimes it's not an intellectual point, it's just an inspiration to go deeper. The way this happens may happen, yeah, in many ways. Krishna can give this in many ways. I have completed what I wanted to say. Well, that's not right. I wanted to do it much nicer, much elaborate, but I didn't have the time nor the qualification in my heart. So I tried as good as I can. I do hope really that you can take something with you. Now I'm in a little dilemma. I promised yesterday time for questions, and I know my time is up. So I would suggest we can have questions and answers, but those of you who wish to take their lunch prasadam, it's still a little time, so you can, I can imagine, answering questions here. I always hope that when I answer a question, others who had a similar question get their answer and say, okay, we got it. And then the others, please feel free to move on. It's not, the program is over. And I want to, let me say, yes, the program is not over. It's, this afternoon and evening are many more highlights coming, but you may leave or stay. I will be here on the microphone and answer questions, which will also be amplified on the microphone. So thank you all very much, and Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Thank you, Hare Bol. Very kind of you, Hare Krishna. Next time it's better. Hare Krishna. Good. I don't see so clear, but is it Rukmini? Good. I will put my glasses on so that I can recognize you. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, that was so beautiful. Thank you so much. I just wanted to ask you if you could explain a little more the word you used, Gana. And mm-hmm. The only reference I have is that prayers to the six Goswamis, Krishna, Ganana, Tanaparo, but I don't know really the meaning of what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a very important question Rukmini asks. I will go back to the notes. Here it is. Narada Muni tells Gopkumar that he can you can go to the spiritual world by Krishna's mercy, and this mercy is received either the Lord gives it like spontaneously and you get the mercy, or you do it by regulative practices. And obviously we know from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that there is this kripa which is just given. What is the name of this kripa? It is the not sadhana. What? I cannot hear. Kripa City, yes, Kripa City. It's just given like a doctorate to a university, to a man who is going on the street, you know, just, you become our doctor. It's an honorary title. So it's better to give that we show Krishna our readiness. And so in practice, and this practice which we should do, it is mainly dhyana and gana. That means meditation or remembering Krishna and singing or chanting about the Lord and his pastimes. So he says this practice becomes very strong by the help of Sankirtan, sitting together and doing Sankirtan. So the question here is, could I explain more about this gana, the singing? Yes, singing is a very important activity in the spiritual world. There is this Brahma Sanghita verse which describes the spiritual world as a place where there is constant singing going on and dancing. It's a way of glorifying Krishna, to sing for him, to use your voice imbued with your heart to sing. So that is done in various ways. You can sing bhajans, you can sing like Yashomati Nandana or Vibhavari Shesha and so on. The bhajan which is given in Brihat Bhagavatamrita is Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murare Govinda He Nanda Kishore Krishna Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Vallabhi Jeevani Radhikesha. Different names, but it doesn't have to be that kirtan of the Lord and his associates. It's singing. It's certainly also singing in kirtan, doing nam kirtan. It's gana. That's the Sanskrit word. The way it should be done, I'm sorry, is also explained in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. It should be done with a feeling of separation And some examples have been supplied how the singing should be done. It is said just like a chautaki bird who only drinks water from the Ganasya, the blue the clouds are called Siam Ganas, the black folks, you know, Siam Ganas. Only the chatak who wishes to drink only water from the Siam Ganas, no, the black clouds. He will wait the whole year in deep separation to drink that water. He will not go even to a pond or other place, a river. He only says, no, I only want that. So the devotees of Krishna don't go to the Siam Ganas, they go to Gana Siam, turn it around to Krishna with the same feeling of longing. Can you imagine how thirsty a little bird is who waits the whole year for a drop of water? I mean, yesterday Parikshit Maharaj came in, and one devotee, a very compassionate Vaishnava, who is by profession a first-class doctor, so maybe I need to help. His sense of compassion was arisen. What would have been there if you, Audaya Dharma, if you would have been actually 5,000 years ago when Parikshit Maharaj was going to the hermitage and Audaya Dharma would be there and say, here, Visleri water, dear king. That would have been something. Fulfillment of your doctor. But then the whole Leela would have gone in another way. So can you imagine, my dear devotees, if what would have happened if a whole year there is nothing to drink? So, but the chataka bird is not wavering in his decision. What it means in the analogy is the devotee will stay with Krishna. Even if Krishna doesn't show himself, he will not go to mundane sense gratification and enjoyment. He will say, no, I'm with Krishna. Krishna is my only Lord. I will not go to Las Vegas. Anything. So this is the determination of how the singing is. Only Krishna, a longing for Krishna. It's called in technical terms, you know better, vipralamba, longing. This is the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Not I have attained you, the Lord, but my Lord, but I wish to attain you. This type of singing. And it is, you can do it in with Krishna's name, with Krishna's qualities. I always recommend devotees, why not have a songbook with you always, and when you have a little time, open a songbook and go and sing. A businessman in Zurich gave me this idea. I was standing in the line in the airport. This may be interesting. And I was just putting my cabin luggage into the security check, you know, where they have it x-rayed to see if there are dangerous items. And as I was waiting, I was unconsciously singing. There was a well-dressed businessman before me, and all of a sudden he turned around and he said, the world is so dry without singing, isn't it? And I said, oh, did I sing too loud? You know, I'm sorry, I didn't. No, I also sing. What do you sing? He asked me. Yeah, I have this very special song, you know, I can teach you. And let's get this over with. And then the men's in the tall, you know, in the security check, took me out of the line. Is this your bag? And I said, to my friend, the businessman, not the friend, to this businessman. You see, I'm always checked, and I know what is raising their suspicion. Stay with me, and you will know what song I sing. So then I was brought to a special place of investigation, and of course, they found this little bag. What is it inside? And I said, oh, I'd show you. And they're like, is this... No, stay. Hare Krishna. And my friend, the businessman who thought a world is empty without singing, said, that's your song. Yes. You can see by my dress, I'm one of those. And very good. What does it do to you? Ooh, let's sit down. You know, this is a weighty subject matter. And then I said, in the beginning, you feel how your mind gets a little clearer. The example is given of a dusty mirror which is cleansed, and then, but later there is something which is called Ananda waiting for you, an ocean of bliss. Wow! Yes. And then I said, find out a good web page with Hare Krishna, and there's some more information for you. So, yes. Ghana. I recommend to take a good songbook with you, Sharanagati prayers. Even if there's no opportunity to sing loud, sing in your mind or just read the prayers, and you will always be in good Krishna conscious mood. The songs of Acharyas have so much power. Hare Krishna. Good. Abhishek?
Maharaj, thank you for such an inspiring and blissful class this morning. You were mentioning that quote that Bhuri Jan Prabhu shared with you, and he shared it earlier on in one of his classes about the Lord who is not easily attained can only be attained by those who accept the sorrow of their own lowliness.
Yes.
And a few of us devotees were speaking about this concept after that, and we were thinking to ourselves that sometimes when we reflect honestly on our fallen condition, then we can get into a depressing state or a mood of consciousness, which is quite, it can stunt your spiritual growth and advancement because you think you're not good enough, you don't have the qualification, you're not ready for Krishna consciousness. So could you explain the difference between the sorrow of lowliness explained in this quote and low self-confidence or low self-esteem that is probably what I'm thinking of?
See, when you get into this, I'm so low, then you're meditating about yourself. But if you think, yes, there are disqualifications, but Krishna is so merciful, then it's something else. The humility or the dainyam, which is discussed in our scriptures, are not about self-absorption and the vicious cycle of depressive thoughts which you enter when you enter the self-absorption, but it is about turning to Krishna for help. That's the difference. It's a form of Krishna consciousness, being conscious of Krishna. Don't forget that our Lord has no place in his heart for the mistakes of his devotees. He just wants to see a serious expression free from pretension. Yes, Kushbo? Yeah, this is, you may not see, this is in front. Oh yeah, here it is. The microphone is here for you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we heard about Leela of Chitraketu Maharaj. Like, he was passing from there. He saw Parvati ji sitting on lap of Lord Shiva. So it was Chitraketu Maharaj. He was a great devotee. He understood this is Shiva. this is his greatness. But we are also neophytes.
I could follow you up to Chitra Ketu. Could you repeat for a moment?
Chitra Ketu Maharaj was watching. There was Bhagavatam going on. Shiva was amongst one of them. And Lordess Parvati was sitting on the lap
of Shiva. Mm-hmm.
Shiva. Mm-hmm. So Chitraketu Maharaj was a devotee. He understood that this is the greatness of Lord Shiva. Only he can do this. But we are neophytes. We hear this Leela, or maybe we see something wrong or something which are not justified. So we immediately start judging. So how should we stop this habit of judging, and how should we see greatness of devotees, of Krishna, in all the situations we come across?
This question, if it is placed out of context, my answer could really do havoc, so I must be careful. When you see something is wrong, it must be addressed, obviously. When it is done by someone who is senior to you and who will not really be impressed by what you say, you must go to someone who is senior to that person, who will then check if this is really wrong and then correct him if necessary. I want to say in the very beginning, what is incorrect must be corrected. But your question was on something else. It's about the tendency to judge very easily. And this is a great problem in our movement. There is a statistical figure which says those in religious movements are 80% less compassionate than people who are not. 80% less compassionate. They are judging very quickly. You might say, this is an amazing figure. Why? Well, you know, those in spiritual organizations have a big list of standards, what is good. Big. It starts with going in the bathroom, how to do it properly, and it ends with, you know, not reading late at night, you know, and a big standard, list to every habit. And these standards are good. They help us to come to sattva gun. But if we use them as measuring sticks, there are two problems. One is we don't know, always this minor rule might have been broken to observe a more important rule. You know? For instance, Srila Prabhupada was once, he came once to Mumbai, and after his airport clearance and arriving in Jubit, he went in his room and he sat comfortably. All of a sudden, from under his dhotis, $100 notes slipped out. Prabhupada smiled and said, they wouldn't check the guru. He wanted to build a temple for Krishna. And maybe it's a little wild example, but he needed Lakshmi there quickly for spending. So the minor rule is don't smuggle Lakshmi. But the bigger rule is build temples for Krishna. So I'm not very happy with this example. You know, sometimes examples which come out of a flick of a moment are not so good. What I want to say is you can't always know, first of all, what is in the mind of the person. The second thing is it is much more necessary or difficult to help a person to grow than to criticize and block his and is much more difficult. Anyone can say anything very quickly. Better is to help someone to grow. If you are an astute person, a good person, then criticizing the man on the street can do. Help someone, and don't be so judgmental. And the third thing about judgmentalism, it's not sattvic. In the sattva gun, you see the equality of all beings, but in rajagun, you see the differences always. And we are very quick in judging. Therefore, in our association, in our sangha, sometimes devotees do not feel very accepted. There are big discussions on, can men wear a beard or not? Very important discussion. About saris, I don't want to get into the detail, but I heard heated discussions about wrap the sari. Can grown-up people please decide this on their own? This is lifestyle questions. it's what is inside important. So we lose ourselves sometimes in externals. Yes. I see one devotee, black-bodied devotee, Indian-bodied devotee sitting there, and behind him a white-haired man. I will have to use my spec for the
Pancha. Hare Krishna.
Yes. So these two. First, Pancha, by your voice I know, Pancha Ratna, okay. And... in front of you.
This is a question that I often had. In kirtan, we're often called upon to sing from the heart. And so often I look within and I say, well, what does that mean? Where is my heart? I know I have a mind, and I know I have, I can hear my mind talking. and we also, are told that mind is also the center of feelings and so on. So, and sometimes I actually have some feeling to sing, but what do I do if the feeling's not there? And I'm told, sing from the heart. What do I do? Do I just pretend? What do I do?
Yes, thank you very much. That was a wonderful question, Vajaratna Prabhu. In Germany, we did a lot of yoga expos, and some of them were really successful. We had 10,000 people in through the day, and many stayed for the evening kirtan, which we did at the end of the expo. We introduced them to the holy name, and there I gave lectures, and one of the lectures was called "Your Three Hearts," Awaken your third heart. Awaken your third heart. So it was a little, the people were curious. And there I used to explain, you have a physical heart which pumps, and I would talk at length about the pump. You have an emotional heart where the seat of feelings are, and you have a spiritual heart. The emotional heart is, when someone in Italy says, I am in love. Italy, they say this often. They will not go, I'm in love. They will go, they will touch here, the heart. It's the seat, that emotional heart is the seat of emotions, like anger, love, and so on and so forth. Prabhupada often says mind and heart uses them interchangeably, but the heart, the emotional heart is really the seat of emotions. But when we say, I mean, in kirtan, you say sing from the heart. The kirtans lead us. When I say it, I'm saying don't space out, but I'm saying it in devotional terms, you know. But philosophically, the spiritual heart, that's where the soul is, where you are, the real you. And when the term sing from your heart, if you want to, because you're serious devotees, if you really want to do this, you must go deep and to that place of the soul and its situation and its need for Krishna and its need to call out for Krishna. And then you sing from a spiritual place, so to say. Sing from the heart sounds a little touchy-feely and emotional and all that, but the term really refers to the spiritual heart, or the heart where the soul is, the dimension of reality, the spiritual dimension in the heart, so to say, which has to do with the relationship, where the soul is and has a relationship to Krishna. So what you do when you hear it all of a sudden and you are not at that place, I think hearing or not hearing, we should in kirtan practice coming from that spiritual place. In all devotional activities, we should practice Buddha Shuddhi. That is, we should come from this place where we understand, my Lord, I have an eternal relationship by the inconceivable... it goes like this. I was entangled in the material world for so long, but now by the inconceivable mercy of the my spiritual master and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have the opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna. That will quickly bring you to a place from where you can address the Lord with some type of feeling, like please accept me in your service or whatever. All too often when we do devotional activities, we just do them in the place where we are, you know, busy with 1,000 things, with 1,000 unanswered emails and so on, and then we somehow sit down to do kirtan. It's good if at that moment you just take one half second and just go like whoop, shift, park that on a parking place and say, my Lord, this is my time now with you. I can address you and I sing now your holy names. And once you are at this place, devotional feelings can come. There's a possibility. If they don't come, if you are suffering like you are not, but if for maybe a week you don't feel this for Krishna, I recommend very much to read prayers. There's a very nice book now out, Prayers in the Bhagavatam. It is a collection of the prayers, and it really helps very quickly to come into a devotional space. In other words, take help from prayers of other devoted souls, and that will bring you to that place. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, there is a surprising statement. It says spiritual activities like japa should be done with Buddha Shuddhi. That is this thing where you separate yourself from your little world, so to say, and enter that devotional space. That is as best as I can do on your question. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
When you are talking about the opulences of Vrindavan, Hare Krishna. So, the Kalparukshas, you are talking about Kalparukshas, but Vaikuntha also has Kalparukshas. So, I mean, you said that Lakshmi's, that Kalparuksha can offer everything. The opulence is extraordinary. But does Vaikuntha have Kalparuksha or doesn't have Kalparuksha? How is this comparison?
Yes, the opulence in Vrindavan is special because it's hidden. In Vaikuntha it is overt, it is visible, but in Vrindavan everything looks so sweet. It's hidden, and it only comes out at certain times. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example, you know, of Krishna. You know, he plays like a little boy, then the boys come and complain to Mother Yashoda, he has eaten dirt. Yashoda said, why do you do this? We have such good preparations. And Krishna answers, they are lying, Mother. They don't like me. Balaram has made this conspiracy against me. And then, of course, Krishna has eaten the earth. But he says no. And then Yashoda said, then open your mouth. Krishna, the little boy, who a moment away lied, and so opens his mouth, and all of a sudden Yashoda sees all the universes and all the worlds in his mouth. Yashoda gets bewildered and thinks, who's this boy? And she looks a second time and she sees herself with Krishna in the lap, in Krishna's mouth, in the land of Vrindavan. She's more bewildered. Maybe under the Lord's illusory potency, I'm thinking, I'm Yashoda and I'm his mother. Maybe this is all an illusion. Then Krishna sees that his mother, by seeing his opulence, is pushed out of that feeling of being his loving mother and closes a curtain of illusion about her by starting to cry. Just now a cat went by. Krishna saw the cat, was afraid and started to cry. So Mother Yashoda sees that and thinks, well, my boy is really afraid of cats. He can't be the Lord of all that is. So at that time the opulence is again covered. The example Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives is a can of milk or a pot of milk. Sometimes this milk is transported and it's shaking so that the milk doesn't jump out of the container. They put some straw inside. And when the milk is boiled, the straw will come up and then go down again. Come up or not come up. And like this. So the opulence of the Lord is like the straw in the milk in Vrindavan. It comes sometimes up and goes. And it is inconceivably greater. We have not heard of Narayan open his mouth and showing all that is, but Krishna does. These trees are special, maybe from the Kalpa Briksha trees, because it said every part of them can fulfill the desires, the leaves, the bark, the twig, and so on. Not only the whole tree, but every part of them. Thank you very much. Let me look. I have time for two more questions, and then I think we should stop. I see one devotee in the back. I can't see you, but it is there. And then maybe one Mataji. This Mataji here. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
I have this question. I've been observing on the past 6 days. Is it okay now? In the past 6 days, especially on the Parikrama Mag, we get opportunity to meet a lot of Brijvasis. This is a question specific to the potency of Dham. It appears to me that the Brijvasis want to go outside to the material world. They have those desires. They inquire about it. And we come from far off places, you know, because Giriraj is so sacred, Vrindavan is sacred. So why do the people who stay in the Dham have those desires? Doesn't the potency of the, when they have Krishna all around, why are their desires to go out and explore the material world?
is it that, you know, everybody is exploring something which they don't have? I don't know if I'm able to...
Yes, you are clear. I must tell you, I was also bewildered by some bridge passes. I heard that devotees, that two bridge passes, there was a devotee and they went with knives to him and they saying, Radhe, Radhe, give me your money. And I thought, oops, is this very good? You know, is this normal? Is this to be expected? There are some bridge passes, and I have asked some devotees about it to clarify. And they said there are different types of bridge passes. When we speak of the bridge passes, then we really should... we think of those who share the sentiments of the bridge passes, that is, to serve Krishna only. Don't judge a bridge passi if he wants to earn Lakshmi outside, he wants to make it, maybe bring it to maintain his family and then come and build a house for everyone and then come back. But there are... What helped me very much is when we were driving back one day from here, from Balkrishna Bhavan, I saw a truck with many banana cases, and there were people on the truck feeding the monkeys. So much bananas that at the end the monkey said, "No need," you know. And I was curious. I mean, normally everyone just complains about the monkeys in Vrindavan, how they become more and more and multiply and bring innumerable diseases and are becoming more and more aggressive and so on. And now they're feeding them with bananas until they float in an ocean of bananas, you know. And I asked, what I heard, we were driving with a bridge passi in our car, a devotee of Krishna, he was saying, no, we know monkeys are monkeys, but they are here in the holy dham. They must have done something wrong to be in monkey bodies and have a monkey behavior, you know. But they are bridge passes. They are saints. They should be fed, and by they live here, and by this we can benefit very much. So, in the same way, some bridge passes will have maybe some behavior which is not appropriate in all circumstances, but we should see more the positive. They are born here. They stay here, and we should respect them. And do you know what I have noted? The moment any bridge person who stays here, if you approach them kindly and respectfully and they see that you are chanting and they are usually very kind, the moment you are not, then they get heavy. I have seen this. So maybe they reflect something which you do wrong. I'm just saying this as a possibility to investigate. No? It's be on the safe side and don't judge. Be on the safe side. We are guests here. Why should we, you know, it's better to see everyone as saintly. Even the Gunda who says, Jairati, Jairati, give me your money. You know. Good. So last question. This question is in the front. Microphone. Here, come forward, please.
Thank you, Madam Maharaj. I have such a question. What is the difference if
okay.
we are... Okay. Thank you for good lectures. What is the difference between if we are looking for like-minded Sangha to sing Sankirtana like Sajatiya Snigdha, and between aparatha to holy name when we are thinking that it is conditioned by something?
What is the difference between looking for good sangha and apara,
like-minded,
like-minded association. Aha. So you look for like-minded people, and then you say, these are not like-minded, these are bad. Like this.
What is the difference?
Yes. Yeah.
When they really find the like-minded Sangha, or we make aparadhas to holy name.
Your thinking is different. It's Finland thinking, yes. I have to first decipher the code. You think if I look for proper association, the danger is that I make offenses against devotees who are not like-minded? So what's the difference? And then I make an offense against the holy name?
It is said that our feelings are more open if we sing in like-minded sangha, sajatiya snigda. Yes, but sometimes it is said that holy name is pure in itself, we just it is only our mind which says it is we need some conditions to open it.
I'm not so intelligent. I'm a simple person. I cannot understand. See, Radhika, you understand?
No, the second part is not clear.
To open our deepest feelings toward Krishna, do we need people who are in the same mood or not?
That was a question. Or is this a new question?
She just made it simple.
It's simple. Thank you.
She was saying that on one side we look for sajatiya, that is people of like-mindedness, but at the same time the holy name, she has also heard the holy name is so pure, it doesn't make a difference. So are we making an offense to the holy name?
Now I understand. This is a supremely intelligent question. No, we will try. Please, everyone, let us be patient. It's a Vaishnavi. We have to serve the Vaishnavi. Yeah, the holy name comes from above. The holy name is Krishna. And Krishna cannot be... Krishna cannot be influenced by association. But we are very much influenced by association. Krishna is like the sun. The sun can even shine at dirty places and make it absolutely pure, like places where there is really dirt, like urine and so on. The sun rays go there and it's pure. So Krishna can go to most impure hearts and purify them. But we are very susceptible to influence. We are not as powerful as the sun, and therefore for us like-minded association is very nourishing. Like-minded association on the highest level means people who are in the same relationship with Krishna as you. That is, we don't know our relationship, so we will not be able to find such people. But then on our level, like-minded association means to seek out the people who are having spiritual desires like we. That's why we always say, Bhujan Prabhu, myself, that be happy you are on the retreat because you will find like-minded people. They all come with one purpose to the retreat, is to advance in Krishna consciousness. So here, most probably like-minded people are coming. No? So that is therefore nourishing, and you can find a lot of answers by discussing. My dear devotees, we have sat now very long together, and there's also prasadam. I think it's at 1:30, is it true? So if you start now, you will reach it in exactly on the minute. Thank you once again, and Hare Krishna.